Oh, yeah. What's going on, DMV? You know who it is. Youngest in Charge Movement. Linnell Willingham here with you live and local on 106.7 The Fan. And always streaming live nationally on the always free Odyssey app. Ride with me to take you up to 10 o'clock here on this Wednesday night edition of Overtime. Jam-packed program for you all tonight and over the next several days. Right now, awaiting to hear word from a certain somebody, a guy, Bub Carrington of the Washington Wizards, expected to join the show at some point. If that changes, we will keep you abreast of that. So I just got a text message from Bub Carrington. So Bub Carrington is going to join us live in studio coming up here momentarily. We wanted to kick things off with that. So super excited about him getting to join the program. We were out there, boots on the ground, live at Commanders training camp this afternoon. Got the chance to catch up with a couple of different guys, including, guess what, people? Guess who I talked to today? Laramie Tunsil. I know. I made it here one piece. My arms aren't broken. I didn't get ripped to shreds. Awesome catching up with him earlier today. A dude that is first class and is ready to come out and have a big-time year for the Burgundy and Gold. So I'll get you all up to speed on how that conversation went a little bit later on in the show. I did get to catch up with Jason Simmons, the defensive backs coach of the Washington Commanders. Touched on a lot with him. We'll play that for you a little bit later on in the show. Mitch Tisler, one half of the Beltway Football Podcast, going to join us coming up at about 8:30. And then tomorrow, if you're able to keep it locked right here on The Fan, ESPN NFL analyst Lewis Riddick going to join the program. We'll get his thoughts. Lewis is pretty fired up earlier today on NFL Live talking about Terry McLaurin in the contract conundrum. So it was it's very interesting, the timing of that. So shout out to the folks at ESPN PR helping me put that together. Lewis Riddick going to join the show with us tomorrow to talk all things Burgundy and Gold. But wanted to start off with this. oh, man, the text that I'm getting. Tons of text coming through making me laugh right now. We will empty out my Washington Commanders training camp notebook coming up top of the 7 o'clock hour, but I will just say this about being out there today. And I know, you know, Grant gave you all the skinny during G&D as well. He was out there, boots on the ground, too. I'll give you a little bit of a different perspective, potentially. It's hard out there to see everything, is what I would say. This is now my, what, fourth training camp, getting to cover this group. It's really difficult to, you know, look at everything during one practice to where I'm now taking it to where, okay, today I'm watching position X and position Z. Tomorrow I'm watching position D, position C. So there he is, my man. There we go. Perfect. So we do have Wizards guard Bub Carrington live here in the studio. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll reset things. Bub Carrington joins us next here on The Fan. Just getting rolling here on this Wednesday night edition of Overtime. You're tapped in to the youngest in Charles and O. Willingham. We'll take you up to 10 o'clock tonight. Right now, instead of going out to the Rude Guest Hotline, we'll do it live here in studio. Wizards second-year guard Bub Carrington joining us right now. Bub's doing a lot of awesome things. We appreciate you, Bub, giving us some time. Seemed like you may be jet-lagging a little bit. Coming back from Vegas, I know Summer League was eventful for you. As always, Bub, scoot to the mic a little bit. There we go. We're teaching Bub Radio 101 on the fly here, by the way, too, man. A lot more to get to as well. Coming up top of the 7 o'clock hour, I will empty out my Washington Commanders training camp notebook. But before we do that, man, Bub Carrington, we appreciate you making some time for us, brother. How are you?
Oh, I'm great, man. I appreciate you guys having me out here.
For sure. I wanted to first, we'll start with some non-Wizards items off the rip, because I know you're here, honestly, for a super special cause, and I give you a lot of crap because you're a Ravens fan. But you're an awesome dude, brother, and I've enjoyed getting to know you over the past year plus. Tell the folks, man, what Breaking Chains is and what the camps are coming up that you guys have, man. It's a real special opportunity for you to be able to host your first youth camp, and I'm happy to hopefully, you know, help out with that, brother.
Oh, man, I appreciate that first.
For sure.
Breaking Chains is basically just like a non-profit organization around the putting awareness mm-hmm. and treatment for mental health awareness and for we're trying to also now get into like physical education
for sure.
And it's all just about building that awareness and why we need it and why it's important to know it and also how to treat it whenever you know people come to us for right. that help. And I super, you know, am with the organization. I agree with everything they're doing, so that's why I'm with sure. them. Yeah.
For sure. I think it's awesome, especially, you know, knowing, you know, where you grew up at in Baltimore and being a DMV cat. We I give you crap all the time, but we don't always consider Baltimore a part of the DMV. But for today and for Breaking Chains, we will.
Today we will.
How awesome is it, though, man, to get to see a kid from your hometown look up to you and saying, hey, I could do what Bub did? Has it hit you yet? I know you've had family out at the games. I know that you've had some youngins out there watching you as well. But has that feeling hit you yet to where it's like, damn, I'm Bub Carrington. Yes, I get buckets, but I'm in the league, man. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, I want to say it honestly kind of hits me when the draft happened.
Yeah.
The second one.
Okay.
And now people stop calling me rookie. Like,
okay.
Everyone kind of expecting a little bit more from me. Like, I'm kind of getting less text messages about practice, more like just expected to be there and stuff right. like that. It's like I'm trying to. That's when it kind of hit, or that's when the second win came. It's like, all right, yeah, you're really in this now.
For sure. So when, you know, you and your family decided to kick things off with Breaking Chains, what was there ever a moment throughout this process where, you know, you were able to step back and really understand the breadth of what you're doing and the depth of what you're doing? Because I think it's super awesome. And I go back to what I said a moment ago. The idea of being able to, we're young dudes. I'm 27, you're 20. The ability to impact younger people, I think, is awesome. And I know it's probably something you've thought about your whole life, but now being in position to be able to do it kind of gives you a little bit more gratitude. And once again, pinch yourself. It feels real.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of said it right there, but well, first, you're not young. 27 years.
Well, he actually goes by the youngest in charge. Stole my moniker. It's a crazy bit.
You're pushing 30. But
wow. Clip that off and send it to Lou DP.
But I honestly would say it hasn't.
Yeah.
Because I've just been in it for so long. Like, this has been such a passion for my family, for my father, for my mom.
For sure.
For like our just core values for so long that I'm not even thinking about kind of who, like, what I'm affecting. I'm just more so thinking about like who I'm affecting.
Yeah.
You know?
For sure. You mentioned, you know, obviously your father and you being able to, you know, deal with that during the course of the season. I know it's obviously something that's tough for you, but like I know you kind of just spoke on it, the ability to be able to, you know, continue to have his name continue to grow on. And I know he's touched a bunch of people in the AAU circuits and in youth basketball, period. You know, how important is that element of this for you to keep the name going?
Oh, it's super important. It's super important, especially after seeing just how many lives like he touched and how he did it. Like, it, you know, at the funeral and things like that, like, just hearing all the things that people had to say about him and all the stories that people had, like, you could obviously see that he affected people's basketball lives in a crazy way, but their just normal lives and how they think and their goals and their values. So, to not want to continue that would honestly be a crime, in my opinion. So,
for sure, I think it's definitely awesome. I'm glad you're getting the opportunity to do this. Breaking Chains is the name of the name of the nonprofit organization that Bub Carrington is doing a ton of work with. Give our listeners the details of the camps coming up that you guys have here.
So yeah, we got some camps coming up. Just a 1 day camp. It's 2 days though for two separate age groups. We have our younger age group going tomorrow actually, and then our older kids, high school kids, going Friday, and it's basically, well, not basically. The camp is focused towards just pushing out that awareness, like I mentioned earlier, just educating kids on kind of just what mental health awareness is, how to stop it from ever getting anywhere that you don't want it to be.
For sure.
And we're also doing, it's also a basketball part of camp, so we're gonna play some basketball, maybe teach them a few things.
Man. Say a lot about you, man. You letting campers score or you going hard? I hope you're not letting no campers score. I'd swat the hell out of a 6-year-old.
I promise. It'll be a cold day. I ever let no middle schooler score on me.
For sure. Wizards guard Bub Carrington joining us right here on Overtime. Bub, a couple basketball wizard items before we get you out of here. Obviously, Summer League was good for you guys. What was the message that, you know, Coach Outlaw, Coach Keith, and Will Dawkins kind of gave to you all heading into Vegas in terms of what you all were trying to accomplish?
He's going to kill me if I don't say these two words. So the message that Coach JJ was telling all of us was just play super physical and play selfish. Like, just play for each other. And that's the perfect two words that I could tell you that's trying to honestly build our brand, the Wizards brand of basketball, not just our summer league message, but what we're trying to bring to the season. Like, we're trying to be the hardest playing team out there, regardless of what people say. And we're going to play for each other. We got a young group of guys that all can dribble, pass, and shoot. Like, we're going to show people what we all can do.
I've seen on social media you and Trey Johnson getting very, very acclimated with one another. Can you give us an update on the shooting competitions, brother, and where things currently stand?
Yes, I can, actually. And there's
No, you're not shy. Trey ain't shy either, though.
Nah, he's not, but he gets that from me. From Big Dog. I just recently saw a clip on Twitter when we did our recent competition. It was left-handed, and they showed him making a shot and not me. They cut the clip off. By the way, I want to put out there, I won the last competition. It was left-handed from three. And
well, you know they got to pump the rookie up, make the rookie look good.
I know, right? And
that's how it goes.
It's so crazy.
Exactly. Like, shooting drills
I was
year.
Just I was just getting posted everywhere, like everything, and now it's Trey, and it's like, you're going
exactly,
to see. Welcome to
the NBA. So exactly speaking of that, is there a moment that you could point out last year and went, okay, I'm in the league, this is for real, I need to eat my Wheaties?
First game of the season, Jason Tatum got the rebound, push. It's just me and him at half. He running full speed towards me, and I got to stop him. I'm last line defense. And I just remember that. My eyes got big, and it was just like, all right, like, I'm here now. I got to stop, though. Trust.
For sure. That's one thing I will give you. Compete your tail off on the defensive end. One thing that, you know, I was super excited about for you when I saw the news, obviously tough to lose JP. I know how close of a relationship y'all was able to form in that locker room last year. It was a bunch of good laughs in there last year whenever I would walk in. Bringing in CJ, though, man, a consummate professional, a guy whose game I see a little bit similarly to yours in terms of your ability to shoot off of the bounce. How many interactions have you gotten to have with him yet, and what are you most looking forward to picking his brain about?
I mean, what really says something about CJ is that we actually had more interactions when he wasn't on the team.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, so it's like me and CJ kind of got acclimated through the NBPA already a little bit.
Okay.
I've already kind of had his number and all that, things like that, but he just came out in Vegas. We rapped, we talked. CJ's a great guy, honestly. Like, and you hear it from everyone else, so you're already expecting
somebody. You can't get somebody to say a bad word about him.
Yeah, that's exactly. Good, like, everyone has such good things to say about him, and it's like, so you're already kind of expecting what kind of guy he is, and then you meet him, and he still just kind of blows you away with just his professionalism and how he carries himself. So I'm definitely super excited for him to be my teammate.
Definitely awesome. We'll let you go. Got a couple more for you before we let you bounce, brother. What was the number one thing that you really locked in on and said, you know what? This summer, I want to get better at this. I want to come back better at this.
Getting better at kind of same leg finishes.
Okay.
Like, I want to kind of get better at just being able to lay people off one leg.
It's definitely a way to go. You'd never lay me off one leg.
All right. Let's,
hope you all understand that, like, I'm a competitive person. Bub's a competitive person.
That was way off script, people. I just want y'all to know.
This was real.
It wasn't on his script. I don't know who told him to say that line.
We have no script. I'll let you go on this so the people can have a reason to throw tomatoes at you. I told you today that I got to go see the 2025 MVP in person, and what did you respond to me and say?
Oh, you really got to see Lamar. Like, that's tough. Bro.
I really wish I could say
I met Lamar Jackson today for real, but I didn't.
It's awful. Bub, obviously a big Ravens fan. Real quick before you head up out of here, brother, what is your prediction for the Ravens this year? Will your quarterback finally show up in the playoffs?
In the Oracle, it says we will win the Super Bowl this year. Obviously, everyone knows that. Let's be real. The best offense in the league, best defense in the league, best quarterback in the league, best organization in the league.
That's tough. Stick to your day job, kid. Stick to your day job. Bub Carrington, ladies and gentlemen, appreciate you making some time for us in studio, my brother. We'll take a quick timeout when we come back. I was boots on the ground out in Ashburn today. I'll empty out my Commanders training camp notebook next. This is The Fan. All righty. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at @NELL_BTP. Tapped in to the youngest in Charles and L. Willingham. Will take you up to 10 o'clock tonight. Big thank you to the Breaking Chains organization for providing Bub Carrington for us here tonight. promoting the youth camp and the organization that him and his family have done a tremendous job with, trying to, you know, bring awareness to mental health and all the struggles that surround mental health that people deal with out loud in silence. So big shout out to Bub Carrington opening up about that. Bub, a awesome young man. I go by the youngest in charge, right? It's crazy. Bub called me old. Isn't that something? Bennett, and the way you and Toby looked at me when he did it was like, no, he didn't. But no, he did. Me and Bub joke quite a bit, man. Super, super grateful of him providing his time to us tonight here, man. If you missed any of the conversation with Bub Carrington, you were in luck. Download the Always Free Odyssey app. Use the Odyssey Rewind feature and go back to about 6:45 to hear my conversation with Wizards second-year guard Bub Carrington. Right now, though, what you all have been waiting for, I know why you're here. I see you all typing in the YouTube chat. I see you following and sticking in the stream on the X app. I'm here to give you a fix. Honestly, I know how you all are, man. You all are itching for the Washington Commanders content, and I got it for you. We will empty out my Commanders notebook coming up here tonight. I want to read a couple tweets before we get going, though. My guy Big Trill tweets at me and says, turn me up, let's go. You already know how it gets down. My guy Commander Jigga says, nah, you ain't talked to Tunsil, and he ain't beat your ass for real, brother. I'm glad you got that interview because I was skeptical. Well, the Tunsil thing, man, do we get into Laremy Tunsil now or do we wait on that? I'll wait on Laremy Tunsil. I'll make you salivate a little bit for the Laremy Tunsil scuttle. But it was awesome, though, man. Like I said in the opening segment, man, real dude understood the assignment in terms of his social media team, light my ass up the way that they did. But it was awesome, man. And this is the cool part about, you know, what we get to do and why I think, you know, it's special being a 27-year-old getting the ability to do this, man. Being able to build relationships and camaraderie with these dudes that are all mostly around my age. So it's super awesome. The relatability, the understanding of, like, culture and things of that nature, man. I was saying it to Laremy Tunsil. You've had a lit-ass summer, dude. Laremy Tunsil hosted a football camp with Gunna. The rapper, Gunna, you know, ATL's finest. Him and Laremy Tunsil hosted a football camp together this summer. Not something that I would add on my bingo card. So anybody out there wondering if LT's putting the work in or not, he's doing it, and he's doing it with Gunna Wanna. A lot more to get to. I do want to empty out this Commanders training camp notebook. A couple of things stood out to me off the rip. I do have to start with the quarterback position. Look, we got a taste of Jayden Daniels last year. And when I say a taste, you obviously know how it finished, right? You lose in the NFC Championship game. But, you know, throughout the season, he clearly proved himself to be a bona fide top 5 to 10 guy in the sport right off of the rip. Dan Quinn spoke to the media earlier this morning before practice, and I thought he summed it up perfectly in terms of Jayden, right? And he spoke about it yesterday as well when him and AP addressed the media. When it comes to Jayden Daniels, he's earned the right, and he's a dude now that people just simply should not bet against. And I know the sophomore slump is something, you know, that's constantly thrown out there and talked about amongst media members, but let's be real here about why Jayden Daniels was able to have success last year, right? First and foremost, right? When it comes to Jayden Daniels and his success, it's not about the arm talent. It's not about accuracy or ball placement or the ability to make plays off script. He is a bona fide workaholic. And I know in years past, we've had guys in here at the quarterback position that have been dubbed and touted as super hard workers because that's what comes with the territory. You want your quarterback to be a super hard worker. The thing that really impresses me the most about Jayden, and this is kind of a double-edged sword here because I'm getting ready to zing you fans out there. Bennett, don't you think this is interesting? Remember this time last year, even right before training camp had commenced, what were we hearing from prominent NFL reporters? Jayden Daniels going to light the world on fire. Jeremy Fowler was getting spoon-fed things from the Commanders. And all Jeremy was saying was, you know, I keep hearing great things about Jayden Daniels. There's this thought that Jayden Daniels can take the league by storm right off the rip in year number one. You all believed that, but you don't believe Jeremy Fowler when he says the Commanders aren't willing to offer over $30 million per. So you pick and choose what you want to believe from your insiders. I'm obviously being facetious when I say that, but I go back to what we first heard about Jaden Daniels and that work ethic. I think that is the basis for his success. I think that is the basis for what type of career he's going to have, man. I think last year, and maybe I'm wrong. I hope that I'm not. I don't think I am because I believe in the cat, talking about Jaden. I feel like last year was like the worst version that we're going to see of this kid. And think about this, right? Got the chance to catch up with Brandon Coleman after practice this afternoon and, you know, talking to him about the offensive line needing to be in shape. Jaden's got to be in tremendous tip-top shape as well because of the hurry-up offense that they run. But when you think about the mental workload that he had last year, I think it shows a ton of trust from the organization to put all of that on his shoulders last year the way that they did. And he didn't blink. He didn't flinch. So I know there's scuttlebutt out there about people concerned or wondering whether or not a sophomore slump is coming. I don't think it comes at all because this young man is brilliant. Watching him today in the 7-on-7 stuff and the 11-on-11 stuff, the thing that stood out with him last year stands out right here again to me. The ball comes out on time, where it's supposed to go. It's accurate. He had a pass today that he layered over the top to Zach Ertz in front of a defensive back. Now, obviously, if there are pads on, maybe the ball gets dislodged based off of contact. But the first throw from scrimmage today during 11-on-11, Deebo Samuel winning at the very top of the route against Tyler Owens, and Jaden Daniels hits him in stride, dropping it in the bucket. Plays circulating online on Commander Social. But, like, that's what you expect from him, and he's that type of cat to me, man. And it feels like to me, my expectations for him next year, I don't want to hyperbolize it, but like, why can't he be firmly in the MVP conversation? I know that's something that, you know, a lot of the time is dependent upon team success, but why can't Jaden Daniels be in the MVP conversation next year? I mean, honestly, he is a dude that just gets it, and dare I say it, he looked better today than he did at points last year. In terms of, there's a comfortability now that he has, being that he's gone through an entire NFL offseason. Think about what last offseason was for him and for the Commanders. It was install. He's learning the offense for the first time. This was, to me, the big ancillary benefit of maintaining the continuity that they did throughout the staff, keeping Tavita Pritchard, keeping David Blau, keeping, you know, Cliff Kingsbury, most importantly, Anthony Lynn, Brian Johnson. The boys are back in town. Everybody's back. So Jaden Daniels and this group continuing to expound upon what they started last year. And to me, by season's end, this offense clearly was a group to me that was damn near virtually unstoppable. Honestly. So you think about year two of this group, and I understand the Terry McLaurin thing that kind of hangs over our heads right now. We'll get to Terry a little bit later on in the show. But even if Terry isn't there to start the regular season, Jaden Daniels is the type of quarterback, ladies and gentlemen, and I think the front office may be thinking this as well, which is why they're dragging their feet with Terry. Jaden Daniels has a lot of the character traits and characteristics of the Four Horsemen, as I like to call them. If you listen to me regularly here on Overtime, you know who I'm talking about. The Four Horsemen, in no particular order, the best four quarterbacks in the NFL. It is Pat Mahomes, it is Josh Allen, it is Joe Burrow, and it's Lamar Jackson. What all of those guys have in common, and I guess Joe Burrow, the jury's still out on him, I guess, because we haven't seen him in these set of circumstances. What all four of those guys have in common is their ability to make others around them better. I'll be honest, you take T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase away from the Cincinnati Bengals, what type of quarterback is Joe Burrow? I think it'll be great. I think Burrow can hoop. He can ball. But it's different. Like this year, Josh Allen, to me, proved a hell of a lot. First year, minus Stephon Diggs, and you go out and win the MVP, like, that's the type of play that you expect from a guy that's going to be consistently talked about in the top four. For Jaden Daniels, think about what he did last year, making Noah Brown, Olamide Zaccheaus, right? These, no disrespect, average wide receivers, made them look above average. So I think Jaden this year with Deebo Samuel and year two of Luke McCaffrey, a speed demon, and Jalen Lane, I mean, he's going to get the opportunity at some point to show that he can elevate everyone around them. Because I'll be real, there is a lot of conversation right now about, well, how much do you trust the receiving core minus Terry McLaurin? I don't look at each individual. I look at the sum of the parts. And the sum of the parts without Terry is tough, but I have the utmost confidence that the quarterback is going to be able to elevate everyone. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, I'll continue to empty out my Commanders training camp notebook, give you a thorough evaluation of the quarterback this afternoon. What was I seeing on the defensive side of the football? We'll talk about that next. This is The Fan. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It is at NELL_BTP. Tapped into the youngest in Charles and L. Willingham. I'll take you up to 10 o'clock tonight here on this Wednesday night edition of Overtime. A lot more to get into. Right now, emptying out my Washington Commanders training camp notebook. We'll be joined by Commanders defensive backs coach Jason Simmons a little bit later on in the show. Got the chance to catch up with him after practice. Always a good combo with him. One thing that really stood out to me in my conversation with Coach Simmons, these dudes love coaching under Dan Quinn, man. Honestly, and as much as they love coaching under DQ, the defensive coaches also love coaching under Joe Witt Jr., a guy that's just been an absolute ball of energy. He walks out onto the practice field today. Mind you, it's 93 degrees, sweltering heat, day one of camp, all the feels, freshly cut grass smell, everything you can want. Eyes are itching like hell because I didn't take my allergy medicine this morning. I got to be better. I got to grow the hell up. Bub, see, that's why my 27 is a young 27 because I'm an immature 27. I didn't take my allergy medicine this morning. I was damn near unrecognizable on my way to the park. Luckily, you know, on the way home, rather, from the park, luckily the Benadryl's kicked in. If you've seen me on the stream right now, I'm still a little puffy under the eyes if you're looking. But that's here nor there. Jason Simmons is going to join us in the 8 o'clock hour. We're also going to be joined by Mitch Tisler as well, one half of the Beltway Football Podcast. The big man was out there today, and me and him agreed on something that we'll bring to the airwaves coming up at about 8:30. But I want to continue to empty out my Washington Commanders training camp notebook. Always special to be out there, boots on the ground, getting different perspective and giving you all a different perspective. I told you in the last segment about how Jaden looked. This defensive front, and I'll preface what I'm about to say by saying this. When we're in training camp, and we're in this portion of training camp, excuse me, in particular, it's increasingly difficult to really get a good gauge on offensive line and defensive line play. Right? Come, what is that, next Tuesday, the 29th? At that point, we'll have a really good idea or get a better idea about where the offensive line and defensive line stand because that's their first fully padded practice. We'll get shells out on Friday, I believe, as well. So we will get a little bit more contact day in and day out. But, dude, this defensive front, it's this defensive line, what's the best way that I can describe them? Almost felt like a group that's, like, much maligned, right? Everyone was hollering for a defensive end this year in the draft and free agency. Everyone's upset about this group and their inability to consistently stop the run. But I'll say this. They were 11th in the NFL in sacks last year. They had the third fewest sacks in the fourth quarter, though. I say all that to say this. Von Miller is here to close out games, right? I fully anticipate him having a super impact on this football team, on this defense, specifically when Washington is ahead, right? And when you think about all the close games that the Commanders played in down the stretch and all the late touchdowns that they gave up late in games, their fourth quarter defense was atrocious at times, right? You think about that, and you now add a future Hall of Fame pass rusher to your unit, hopefully you're a little bit more formidable. What really stood out to me, though, right? Frankie Louvu, dating back to the springtime, right? Every time the Commanders went into their individual drills, and that is when you go with your position group, quarterbacks go with quarterbacks, running backs with running backs, so on and so forth. You know where Frankie Louvu, what position group he went to every time they went to individuals during the spring, and then where he was today during individuals? He was with the defensive ends and the pass rush guys, man. Frankie Louvu is going to have a real opportunity to consistently rush the passer. Honestly, though, how much he gets to rush the passer is honestly dependent upon two things. One, how successful is Frankie while rushing the passer? Can he set the edge in the run game? But two, how does Jordan McGee get acclimated? How does Jordan McGee come along? How does a guy like Kane Medrano come along, right? And Kane made a couple of plays out in the spring. Didn't notice him too much today because I wasn't paying attention to that group. But to me, man, if Jordan McGee can really take a step forward from the neck up and he understands what's going on, which it seems like he does, and he is able to play linebacker next to Bobby Wagner, that frees up Frankie Louvu to rush in those obvious passing situations. And I'll even take it a step further. He'll be able to rush outside of the obvious pass rush situations. So today, when they were, I think the drill that they were doing was third and long. The front four that you saw was Von Miller and Frankie Louvu at your edge rusher spot. Daron Payne on the interior, lined up next to who? Dorrance Armstrong. Now, if you've been listening to Overtime here, that shouldn't be a surprise to you. We've said it ad nauseum. First of all, I think Dorrance is also another guy that I think they're counting on heavily, and they should, based on the contract they gave him last offseason and then what he did last year. He led this team in pressures despite only having 5 sacks, right? I know Dante Fowler gets all the kudos for his 10.5 sacks. I continue to call it the quietest 10.5 sacks you'll ever see. But with Dorrance, you felt him, and you felt him when it mattered most. The Falcons game down the stretch, the Bucs game down the stretch, the entire postseason for the Commanders. Dorrance Armstrong made plays. And where did he make plays at? He made plays on the edge. He also made some plays rushing from the interior, being able to beat those interior offensive linemen with his quickness. Like, that's an area where I think he can really, really help catapult this defense and this pass rush. But they're just a versatile unit. They're about 8-9 guys deep, right? I just named 4 dudes. Von Miller, Payne, Louvu, Dorrance. Can I give you another 4? Jerzon Newton, Javonte Jean-Baptiste, Javon Kinlaw, Eddie Goldman, Dietrich Wise, right? Like, they have a lot of dudes on that defensive line to where, to me, man, I feel like we're in a spot with the defensive front when it comes down to the numbers game and how many they actually keep. I was saying it to somebody earlier. I don't know if it was it last week? I was either saying this to Danny or Grant, one of the two. To me, man, when it comes to the pass rush, they're keeping 9-10 dudes, and I feel like all 9-10 of those dudes are going to play each and every week, man. It's a deep position group. What did Joe Witt Jr. say last year? We're going to roll with a deep crew. So I just feel like the depth, and if they're able to stay healthy throughout the course, Jalen Holmes, another guy I didn't even mention. If they're able to stay healthy throughout the course of the season, like, that should be a much better group. But we're not really worried about their ability to rush the passer, right? I think people are more so worried about how they're going to be able to stop the run. The run defense last year was god-awful at times. Today was the first day we got to see Javon Kinlaw in action. Oof. Mountain of a man. Him, Eddie Goldman. Eddie Goldman, by the way, let me pull up the Commanders roster here because I said I was going to do this when I got in studio. I left my paper roster in the car because I'm a stooge. But Eddie Goldman, ladies and gentlemen, 6'3", 330. You want to talk about the trimmest 330-pounder you'll ever see in your GD life? Insert Eddie Goldman. And I know our guy, Grant Paulson, got the chance to catch up with him post-practice a little bit, but like the new bodies that they have on the defensive line, one, I think they'll be better against the run because of the different fronts that they can line up. When you got guys like Dorrance Armstrong that can play inside and out, when you got Payne that can play inside and out, Kinlaw that can play inside and out, I mean, dude, it's going to be a badass defensive line group. I really have a lot of confidence in them. I know before they signed Von Miller, I guess is how I would put it, they were kind of missing that household name. Man, they got a bunch of dudes that I think together can just straight up boogie. And that, to me, is going to be really key for this offense going into next year. Or excuse me, really key for this defense going into next season. I want to talk about this new look Commanders offensive line as well. We got to see Laremy Tunsil out there for the first time today. There was one offensive line starter that I think you all will be surprised by. 1-800-636-1067. I'll continue to empty out my Commanders training camp notebook. Next, when we come back, I'll get you the skinny on this new look offensive line and why there's major competition brewing at two of the five spots. That's next on The Fan. Still rocking and rolling here on this Wednesday night edition of Overtime. We're tapped in to the youngest of Charles and L. Willingham, taking you up to 10 o'clock tonight. Number to call us, 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. You can tweet at me as well. It's at N-E-L-L underscore BTP. Ben, and I'm getting ready to shoot it over to you, my brother. I got the chance to catch up with Commander's second-year guard, Brandon Coleman, briefly after practice. We'll play that for you coming up here momentarily as well. But I do want to get into this Commander's offensive line. A revamped Commander's offensive line, I think, is going to be the reason why this offense, despite coming out like gangbusters a season ago, it's the big reason why I think this offense is going to take another step forward. But you know who the head coach of this football team is, right? Dan Quinn. What is the mantra that Dan Quinn lives by? And he got it from his old pal, Pete Carroll. What he said is competition everywhere, all of the time, no matter who you are. You saw it last year, right? How frustrating was the song and dance last year's media members and fans when they just wouldn't name Jayton, excuse me, the starter? Gotta earn it. Gotta earn it. Saw the same thing with Brandon Coleman. Gotta earn it. Saw the same thing, excuse me, last year with Mikey Samuels still. Gotta earn it. Ben Sinnott. Gotta earn it. Nothing will be given to anybody by this coaching staff. Point blank. Point blank. Including this year's draft picks. First team offensive line today in team was as follows. Laremy Tunsil at left tackle. Brandon Coleman at left guard. Tyler Biadasz at center. Nick Allegretti at right guard. Andrew Wiley at right tackle. So we'll see how long that plays itself out. First of all, I think Wiley's in a good spot to make the team. Didn't see him take any team reps there today, but he was the first team left tackle back in the spring during the two sessions that Tunsil did not go. He was the first team right tackle today, and I think it was Trent Scott running as your second team left tackle. So we'll see, you know, if Andrew Wiley, you know, gets more acclimated with the left side of the offensive line. But I do think he's in a good spot to make this team. But Josh Connerly Jr., like, they're not just going to hand the job to him. They're not. Do I think he's ready for it now? Probably. Just watching him, even dating back to the spring, he is a technician. When you're evaluating offensive line play, right? When you're evaluating offensive line play, one thing that you look at is, do your hands and your feet line up consistently when you're punching, etc., right? I think with Connerly, that's always the case. And I know on tape there were some times where he overset and, like, didn't have his body balance, so to speak. But, Coach OG Bobby Johnson, somebody's working with him. Because Connerly continues to look sharp. He had a false start today, running with the second-team offense at right tackle. Where Marcus Mariota's cadence has got him. But then the very next play, didn't put his head down, didn't pout, didn't moan and groan about it. He lines up one-on-one against Von Miller on an island, quick sets him, stops Von right in his tracks. Now, obviously, what I said to start the show, difficult to evaluate offensive line and defensive line play when there's no pads on, but the footwork is there. And this offensive line, to me, from a depth standpoint, right, it has the chance to be a legitimate top 10 unit in the National Football League. We actually got a pretty interesting update earlier today surrounding this Commanders offensive line. And it came from Dan Quinn. Came from Dan Quinn. Giving us an update on Sam Cosmi. Sam Cosmi potentially could be ready for week number one. They are not ruling out Sam Cosmi for week number one. He tore his ACL in January. That'd be an 8-month timeline about, so it's not totally off, but it goes to show you how much of a physical specimen Sam Cosmi is. When he comes back, this offensive line, the final form of this offensive line, and what group they'll throw out there to end the regular season or to start the playoffs if they're all healthy, I think it'll be Tunsil, Coleman, Biadasz, Cosmi, Connerly. Ain't a bad group. Super athletic. It's got the ability to really get out like elephants on parade in the screen game. I'm excited for it. I am. This offensive line, it's been a while, man. I was talking to some guys out there earlier today on the beat. It really feels like, well, how far we got to go back? The J years, when it's Morgan and Trent as your tackle tandem, and then Corey Lichtensteiger was doing the damn thing at center, then you inserted Chase Roullier. He was a dog at center. This offensive line, to me, is the best Commanders offensive line I've seen in quite some time. And one thing that we forget about with this offensive line, I think they'll be just as impactful as pass blockers as they are as run blockers, right? I think they'll obviously afford Jayden Daniels more time to push the football down the field. That is a given. The other area, though, where I think is interesting is how they are as run blockers. And I think they all have the ability to be tremendous in that department. And they're going to have to be if this team is going to be able to replicate some of last year's offensive success. Think about this. Got a number for you that absolutely knocked my drawers off when I read it. Obviously, it didn't knock my drawers off. I will keep my drawers on for the sake of the general public. But you get what I'm saying. The Commanders last year, and the numbers, I think, when I read you this number, I wonder if you'll be as staggered by it as I was. But in terms of the balance that this team had offensively, the Commanders ran the ball at the sixth highest rate in the NFL last year. I'll say it again. The Commanders ran the ball at the sixth highest rate last year. I know everyone, you know, was excited about Terry. I know everybody wants him in the fold. But in reality, the most important thing to this Commanders offense next year, to me, is going to be balance. Can they run the football consistently? Because we saw it down the stretch. The traditional running game absolutely fell off of a cliff. It just did. It just did. So this year, with a revamped offensive line, a motivated Brian Robinson Jr., adding Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, a healthy Austin Ekeler, this run game's got to be paramount, and it's going to be a big part of their success and determine, honestly, whether or not they're going to be able to have success, if I'm being real with you. Like, they ran the hell out of the ball last year, and it's not like they ran it, you know, for you know, S's and giggles is the best way that I could put it. They were the third best rushing offense in the NFL in terms of yards per game, right? Rush yards per play, they were amongst the tops in all the National Football League. Explosive runs. Talking about runs of 10 or more yards. Washington was in the top five, right? So, like, this is a group that needs the balance. As good as Jaden Daniels looked last year, you get him some more balance offensively and eliminate some of those performances where he's throwing it 40 times a game. How much better do you think the offense is? I'm excited about it, though, man. The offensive line, to me, they're a revamped group. But honestly, the biggest reason why I think this running game next year is going to be much improved. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. I mentioned rookies having to earn it. I'll tell you which other rookie is still having to wait his turn to get on the first team. Next is the Fan. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. A lot more to get to here on this Wednesday night edition of Overtime. It's Tapped Into the Youngest in Charles and O. Willingham will take you up to 10 o'clock. Couple of more guests still slated to stop by. Coming up at 8:30, one half of the Beltway Football Podcast, our guy Mitch Tisler on the Mighty Metal Sports Network going to join us. Big man was out there with me. Boots on the ground, and Ashburn will pick his brain to see what he caught that I did. And that's the beautiful thing about getting to go out there for hours, watching practice, chopping it up, collecting content, building relationships. You get to have other people out on the beat that you trust to be your eyes and ears. Mitch Tisler, definitely one of those guys for your boy. He's going to join us coming up at 8:30 in the 9 o'clock hour, and in the final hour of power. Commanders defensive backs coach Jason Simmons going to join the program. We'll get him to discuss a bevy of different things, including what he has seen out of Trey Amos to this point. Right now, taking your calls on anything at 1-800-636-1067. As we ease our way into the 8 o'clock hour, I want to answer the question that I posed out last segment in terms of the other rookie that's having to earn his playing time. I mentioned Josh Connerly Jr. right now playing with the second team at the right tackle spot. Will Andrew Wiley be able to hold him off? That's going to ultimately be the question. I think right now, I don't know how long that's going to last. Because to me, Connerly could just play. But I think Andrew Wiley getting the nod honestly says a lot about Andrew Wiley. It's not a slight to Josh Connerly at all. Andrew Wiley's a pretty decent football player. I'm not going to go hyperbolize it and act like I don't remember a couple of years ago under Ron Rivera and company, but last year may have been a byproduct of, you know, playing with a mobile quarterback like Jaden. Didn't give up one sack last year. Not one. The guy Zins World just typed in the chat saying Wiley did really well as a moving blocker last year. He did. Thought he was really, really good in space at times last year. That was why they preferred Wiley over Cornelius Lucas, because of the way that he played in space. But I want to take your calls, though. 1-800-636-1067. All show long, and it'll be this way throughout the duration of training camp. Ask me whatever, man. I'm out there, boots on the ground, able to answer any question you all have. It's a big reason why I'm out there. It's super invaluable to the show in terms of, you know, how beneficial it is for me to be out there. Real quick, Bennett, if you got it ready, we'll let you all hear. From you go to my account. I did not DM it to you because I'm a terrible person. Brandon Coleman got the chance to catch up with him post practice earlier today. Talked about a couple of different things. Let's take a listen.
Linnell Willingham here with Commander's second-year guard Brandon Coleman after training camp practice number one, BC. How was the summer for you? I know we were talking off-camera about how you went down to Dallas to train a little bit. Expound upon that.
Yeah, I was out in Dallas. Pam was out there and then trained with Duke.
Duke Manyweather, yeah.
Yep, Sports Academy. There's a couple of us guys here. Tyler was down for a little bit. Foster, okay. Rail, Trent Scott, Chris Ball. So we were able to kind of connect, work together, which was cool. Yeah, it was good work. Went to O-Line Masterminds. You know, that's always a great event to go to. There's so many great talents, legends there. So being able to connect, talk about the game, especially before we come into camp, is always great. And just connect with a bunch of people.
Kicking inside the guard, man. I've been leading the hype train for you, big guy. I think you've got a load of potential at that spot. How comfortable are you moving there? And what were those conversations like to make that choice?
Yeah, you know, like I told him when I got drafted. And when they called me by OT and Josh, I'm ready for any position.
Yeah.
Played everything in college other than center, like I told him. So that obviously takes a little bit of time to adjust, but I feel like the spring helped me out a lot. This summer, I was honing in a lot on basic things like stance, first couple steps, punching, aiming, points, timing, so not being able to kind of apply that to, like, game-like situations here in practice was good. I kind of saw that today. Obviously, there's stuff that you can always learn from, especially these first practices, but it's always cool to go against guys like Kinlaw. Like,
yeah.
Guys are, like, the best of the best, in my opinion, that I can work with day in, day out and ask questions.
So I'll let you go on this, big fella. The one thing that I thought was going to be pretty interesting for your transition inside for the entire offensive line is when you go hurry up as much as you guys do, what type of shape do you guys have to be in? And is there an extra emphasis from the coaching staff to come back in tip-top shape because of the offense you guys run?
Yeah, obviously, I ran the offense in college.
So, okay.
You kind of build up through practice, but I think the coaches never had to make a big emphasis. Like, everybody on this team knows what it's about and knows what they have to do to get in shape. Like, they embrace that stuff. They know that it's the edge that we have to be in shape. And, you know, that just comes with the excitement that we bring to practice.
For sure.
It's not really, like, working it. It's just kind of part of practice what we do.
For sure. Appreciate you, McMillan.
That is Brandon Coleman, Commander's second-year offensive guard. I think he's going to have a Pro Bowl year this year. I really do. I told him off camera. I said, hey, big man. First of all, my first introduction to Brandon Coleman, we got to interview him the weekend after the draft. He joined me and Chris Russell over on our sister station, the Team 980, and at that point getting to learn the story, humble beginnings. And then last year, we found out that he brought, I think it was like bacon-covered donuts as like his rookie treat for guys. And I said, wow. Some people would say your back is big for eating something like that. I think you got great taste. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Set the phones while we got a couple, while we got a chance to do so. 1-800-636-1067. Captain Todd, what's chiming in? What's going on, brother? How are you?
Hey, buddy. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. How you doing? Good to hear from you, my man.
You too, buddy. You must have the patience of a saint to burp at the rooster, man, I got to say.
That is my guy. That caged animal is probably somewhere listening right now. So,
oh, good, good. I want to say hi to the rooster. You know, I love the rooster. He's a crazy person, but we all love him.
Yes, he is.
Last time I was on the air with you, Captain Mom was listening, and yeah, you gave her a big shout out, and I got like five texts after we got off the air, and just nothing but thumbs up and smiley face emojis. I mean, she was happy as a clam, man. You made her night.
Love, man. And look, Captain Todd, seriously, man, I'm glad that I could do that for you in particular, man. You have been a super supporter of mine ever since I've gotten an opportunity here, man. I definitely have no problem doing that for you, brother. That is awesome to hear.
Appreciate it, buddy. Yeah, day one, I was a fan, and after that, especially, I'm, you know, fan for life, buddy.
For sure, man. What's your biggest question that you got for me from training camp, brother?
You know what's really funny? I actually love that we're talking about the offensive line because they get no love.
Yeah, they don't.
Ever. And I was telling, I think it's Ben tonight, right?
Our guy Bennett is in. We got Ben, Bennett.
Bennett.
Young Bennett in
shout out to Bennett, man. So I told him a question I wanted to ask you because I was running through this in my head. Is the offensive line the best position group we have on this team right now?
Wow.
You know,
man, how like quickly things could change back in a year, bro, dude. Like, that's
sure. It's been a problem for how many years?
Wow. Even specifically going into last year, like, that was the main reason people had reservations about, you know, how good Jayden Daniels could be right off of the rip, because it was an offensive line that was pretty unheralded. But I think that's a tremendous point. I would go out on a limb, Captain Todd, and say, yeah. To me, it's either that cornerback room or the offensive line room. I think the cornerback room is deep, too. I think they got five guys that are legitimate starters in this league, talking about Noah Igbinoghene, Lattimore, Trey Amos, Jonathan Jones, and then Mikey Samuels still.
Yeah, but how many of them are Pro Bowlers?
Yeah,
I mean, we might have three Pro Bowlers on the offensive line.
Dude, Tunsil's going to be a Pro Bowler. I think Cosme's been there before. Brandon Coleman, I think, has Pro Bowl potential, clearly. Yep. Biotis is someone that's starting to get a lot more respect, Nash. That's a good point, Captain Todd. Man.
Yeah, seriously. And also, last thing, having Mitch, the big man, talk about the offensive line, I am tuning all the way in, man.
For sure.
I am so excited about that.
Love Mitch. Super excited about that. Captain Todd, I appreciate you as always, man. 1-800-636-1067. Jason and Laura, Robbie and Chevy Chase, Mike, Sean. We'll get to all of you on the other side of the break. Don't go anywhere.